So I usually don't like to talk about this early, so much before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Erez Meitshuva. But sometimes you notice certain things around you, and as the train towards those days gets closer to the part, I notice that Hashem's dropping hints, and I'll take the hints and I'll run with the hints. Hashem sometimes drops hints earlier than you might have expected, or than you might have wanted, hints and chizuk and wake-up calls. So I want to talk about one of the hints that I feel like he's really dropping in a very, very powerful way. So there's an incredible entrance when Klai Yisrael comes to Eretz Yisrael. We get to a place of Har Gerizim and Har Evil. And Har Gerizim and Har Evil start out, Hashem tells us, you'll stand by the mountains, and he announces all these curses, all these blessings and curses, all these wonderful things, and everybody says, Amen. It's a fascinating maimed. That's the entrance. That's when we walk into Eretz Yisrael as a nation. First time we walked in together. And it ends in a very strange way. The last of the things that are said are Ar Asher Lo Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Azos. That the person who's not Yakim Es Divrei HaTorah Azos, the person who doesn't hold up the Torah, that person has a curse. So all the other curses, the brachas, the klalos, they're very explicit. They're very clear what they mean and what Hashem intends, and what the people will get if they do good, and get the other way if they don't do good. But the last one, the one that it ends with, and usually the ending is very, very meaningful, the last one that it ends with is Arasha lo yakim, person doesn't hold up the Torah. You hold up the Torah. So there's a Ramban over here. The Ramban says, Lefi daiti, ki ha-kabbalah azos, this acceptance that Klai Yisrael took upon themselves when they came into Eretz Yisrael, she-yodeh b'mitzvahs b'libo, you'll admit, you'll accept the mitzvahs in your heart, v'yiyu v'einov emes, and you'll know that they're true. The Jew has to know that mitzvahs are true. Yamin she-oseh oson, yiyeh lo schar ha-tova, a person should believe that if you do these mitzvahs, you'll have all the great blessings, all the great reward. And a person who does the other way, he's gonna get the opposite. He's gonna get the opposite. When you read the parsha, there's something that's could happen. Maybe couldn't happen, could happen. Because this end of the brachos and klalos of Har Gerizim and Har Eval is immediately followed by what I call, because it is, Perek Chavches. Perek Chavches is nobody's favorite parak. A lot of people like it Shabbos morning because the Baal Korah goes very fast. But if you read, you shouldn't read. Maybe it's better not to read. He goes very fast. Maybe you shouldn't focus. You shouldn't pay attention. But if you read, you have the chance to read. This is terrible. This is a terrible parak. This is one terrible calamity, one terrible tragedy. Things you can never imagine. You would never think to say these things, to curse these things, to Klai Yisrael, to say about anybody. And you see in Perek Chavches, it starts out nice, so you get drawn in. You get drawn in because it starts out, oh, beautiful things. You're like, oh, I like this, nice Perek. And then it gets ugly, very fast, for a very long time, a lot of psukim. But you get drawn in because it sounds very nice in the beginning. Schar v'onish gets very real in Perek Chavches. In Perek Chavches, Hashem says, you're going to do good things in this world. You're going to have an amazing life. You're going to have a lot of good in your life. It's going to be incredible. All your dreams are going to come true. And then it goes on and on and on for a long time. A lot of psukim goes on and on. That if you're not going to do that, one terrible, miserable life experience after the next. Things that I'm telling you can't imagine. You see all the movies you saw in your life of documentaries of what they did to Klal Yisrael, and it's even worse. All the documentaries, I don't want to say names, I don't want to remind any things, and not Chas v'Shalom comparing this tragedy and that pogrom and that crusades and all of them together, it's all Perek Chavches. That's all Perek Chavches. And the beginning of when Hashem starts to tell you what's going to happen if you don't do good, if a person doesn't do good, there's a Yonasan Ben Uziel, the Targum. Yonasan Ben Uziel says an amazing thing. He says right before Hashem started to tell you what's going to happen if you don't do good, he writes over there, it's Aramaic, he writes, the world shook before Hashem started to describe all the terrible tragedies that will befall Klal Yisrael. The world shook. The avos cried out from their graves. The light of the world, the sun and the moon, faded. So when you read through this, you understand what the world what your world, what your private world, what the world of Klal Yisrael could turn into, you wake up. So Perek Chav Ches, Parshas Kisavo, this is a major wake-up call for what's about to be around the corner. Slichos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin, a major wake-up call. I know some people like to sleep, some people enjoy their sleep. If you're a thinking person, if you're a cognizant person, if you pay attention to what's going on, just read a little bit, and take it seriously a little bit. It's hard not to wake up. Very difficult not to wake up. And you feel like after you read through Perek Chav Ches, and now you're ready. Now you realize you came to terms. You came to a level of maturity and honesty and self-awareness that you say, maybe it's time now to get rid of all the accumulated schmutz that you gathered together over the course of the year. You could recenter yourself. You could avoid all these terrible tragedies. Why should you walk into that? Why should you walk down that road? It's a terrible road, and you could walk off. Anybody could just veer off that road. Just take a detour. There's a good road waiting just on the side. Just take a detour. A little tshuva. Tshuva is very easy. The easiest thing you could do. The easiest mitzvah. There's no easier mitzvah than tshuva. Do a little tshuva. And then boom, you're on the other side and everything's good. Everything's wonderful. So Hashem gives you two options. You could go down the path of nobody wants to go down. You go down the other path. But when you talk about the other path, I'm very disappointed about the other path. Because I thought if you veer off the bad path, you go to the good path, oh, then it's going to be like Gan Eden. It's going to be like heaven on earth. The best things you could imagine. It's like a few short psukim, nothing. A few nice things. You'll have a little grain. You're not going to be hungry. That's it. It's very disappointing. It doesn't say much. If you listen to Hashem's voice, I'll give you a little bit. You'll have a nice day. You have a good life. Nothing amazing, nothing incredible. But in those brachas, he sprinkles in a few terms that catches my attention. Sprinkles in a few unnecessary terms. And Hashem tells you, if you do good things, V'ayim shemo atishma, unisoncha Hashem okecha elyon al kol goyei ha'aretz. He'll make you above all the nations of the world. And you're going to be for him an am kadosh, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, he's going to call his name upon you. Vayisa Rak Lamala, you're going to go up and up. Velosi Elamata, you're not going to go down. Your whole life, your whole existence will be facing upward. These are not brachas. Brachas means I'm going to have a good life. I'll have a great job. I'll have a good wife. I'll have a good family. I'm nachas for my kids. I'm going to go in old age to the fanciest nursing home. I'll have nice vacations. I'm going to have an amazing life. It doesn't talk about that. It says you have a little bit to eat, you have a little bit to drink, you're going to be comfortable, you're going to be satiated, things are going to go well, nothing's going to go wrong. But then he has to sprinkle in these, what I sense is just doesn't fit. It doesn't have anything to do with this. It's irrelevant over here. And you'll also be a nation above the nations. You're also going to be a holy people. You're also going to be rak lamala, up and up, facing upward, and lo lamata. What does that have to do with anything? Why is this here? It doesn't belong over here. So I'll share with you a thought. I'll share with you a thought that I was having today. If you ever had the schus to be on a team in high school, so some teams have better records, but when you're on a team, I don't know if when you're young you appreciate this, but as you get older you start to have more of an appreciation. When you're young, a lot of people think that the team wins a championship. But when you get older, you start to mature and you start to really understand how teams work. And teams do win championships. And more than teams do it, coaches do it. Coaches really win championships. Coaches who know what they're doing, they take a good team to great. They take a great team to exceptional. Coaches who know what they're doing, they really, really, really work on their guys. And they take them 10 levels up. So if you have this list of having a connection to a good coach, you understand that practice is very important by a good coach. And practice is very annoying for most guys. So in order to get guys to really invest in practice, so he's got different styles. He's got to be forceful. He's got to be encouraging. But I think a good coach also incentivizes. He offers good incentives. And the tactic of a good coach, he wants the guys to really work hard. So practice is going to be 6 a.m. But he tells the guys, 6 a.m. practice, and then we'll do a gala breakfast. You know, for all the real Jews, we'll get you all your kichel and herring and make you happy after the 6 a.m. practice. But he needs the guys. In order to get the guys, a little encouragement, a little bit of force, but a lot of incentives. And then how do you incentivize the game? So he tells the guys, you know, every guy who pulls in 4 rebounds in the game. You know what I'm talking about? Make up a number of assists, whatever you want, points. A guy who pulls in this stat in the game, so then, you know, we'll go out for a weekend. Weekend on me, weekend on the team, weekend on the school. But he's got to incentivize the guys. Or he'll tell the guys, you know, if you're pulling 4 rebounds, you come to practice now 7:30 in the morning. A counter-incentivize, but it works. It works. So then you come in at 7 a.m., but you're pulling in 5 rebounds every game. It's worth it. It's worth it. And you really work harder when you hear these incentives. And that's practice. That leads into the games. But when the season gets serious, then he ups the ante. A great coach ups the ante. And he says, you know, we're doing amazing. You're doing great as an individual. We got to win games. You string together 3 wins. If the team strings together 3 wins, we're going to go for a, you know, a major trip. We'll go, the whole team's going to go on a week trip, or a week-long trip. We'll make some amazing schedule. You're going to have a great time. And then team's doing extra well, better than you expected. And he says, you know, let's get through the first round of the playoffs. I'll give a $1,000 gift card to each guy in the team. And he's going step, madriga after madriga. And somehow the team, because of a great coach, is going much further than you expected. And then he goes for the gold. And he says, if we win the championships, we'll get rings for everybody on the team. We're going to have a parade. We're going to march down Central Avenue, Queen Anne, whatever that avenue is called. March down the avenue with floats, all kinds of floats. It's going to be incredible. Rings, a parade. We'll go to Disney World. The whole team's going to go to Disney World together. And the guys are thinking, like, oh. So when you're playing on that team during the season, you think to yourself, a $1,000 gift card. And it pushes you. Couple extra rebounds, get that win. You're in the playoffs, and you're thinking about, whoa, parade, you know, kind of covered. You know, it's going to be standing on the side of Queen Anne over there, looking at me. I'm going to look amazing. It's going to be an amazing experience. I want that covered. I want that honor. I want that glory. I want to feel that. Amazing pushes you. But I want to tell you something. I don't know if you had a good coach. I don't know if you were ever part of a good team. But if you ever made it to the championships, Disney World doesn't matter. The ring doesn't matter. The parade doesn't matter. Because if you ever get to the championships, there's one thing that takes over your mind and your spirit entirely. Before the game, for a week, for days, every moment you're awake, when you're falling asleep, when you wake up, all you're thinking is one thought. I could be a champ. I could win this championship. And Disney World and rings and parade, that's not why you're doing it anymore. You started out the season because all the incentives. But when you hit the peak of the season, the incentives, you can't give me an incentive that's more valuable than the greatest prize. I could be a champ. That's the greatest incentive. It takes over your drive because you're driven for something so much bigger. At Disney World, you know, Magic Mountain and all these things, they don't speak to you anymore. They don't occupy your mind. And Hashem tells us in this week's parsha the most incredible thing that I want to express very clearly. Because I think sometimes we grow up in a way that our impressions, our premises about the upcoming days are very skewed, very unhealthy. When you think about Rosh Hashanah and Slichos, you think about like very serious days and you got to have a very angry look on your face, and you're not allowed to smile, and you have to be very scared and dreadful, and you'll hear a lot of schmoozing that people will say, you did terrible things, and they print out these crazy printouts of God knows what kind of avarice you never imagined, and they tell you, do all these, you know, hit yourself, because you're like giving me an avarice I never could have even thought of, these terrible, sick avarice. Another al-chait, another al-shamnu, it's all... takes over your mind, and you miss the whole point. You miss the whole point of these days. And then Hashem sprinkles. He gives us like a little insight, a little intro to what these days are going to be. And he says the most amazing thing. As Hashem ha'amarta hayom liyos l'chol ha'elokim. You chose Hashem to be your God. B'lechis b'drachov lishmar chukov mitzvosov mishpatov lishmor b'kolo. So we chose Him. We chose Him to follow His ways. And that leads into the brachos and klalos. And then look what happens on the back half. Vashem he'emir cho ayom. You chose him, and you know what? He chose you. Lios lo la'am segula. You're going to be his chosen nation, his precious people. L'sitcha elyon, to raise you above of all humanity. To raise you above of all mankind. L'tehila, l'shem, l'tefores. Lios am kadosh, l'ashem lokecha. Kadosh doesn't mean holy. Kadosh means eternal. To be an eternal people. To be with him on his journey. Not to be a regular person. To be elevated, to be a different creature. To be one with the Rabbonu Shel Olam. When you hear the final buzzer, and you realize you just won the championship, and it hits you now in your mind, the whole season, everything that built up to this, all the incentives and all the practices and all the games and all the push and all the force and all the positive encouragement, it all led up to one thing. I'm a champ. You have an identity. I'm a champ. Nobody could take that identity away from you. If somebody told you the next day that Disney World is canceled and the parade is canceled, doesn't matter. A ki hu zeh, doesn't matter one bit. I'm a champ. The guy I am today, the identity I walked into right now, that identity is something that I worked. I worked days, I worked weeks to get to. That identity is what I was chasing the whole time because everything else pales in comparison to that identity. So we talk about the brachos and klalos. We talk about the rewards and the punishment. And sprinkled in to the reward, because the reward doesn't look so hot. The reward doesn't look amazing. It doesn't look like the incentive that you really were looking for. The greatest incentive that he wants to tell you is you'll be with me. You're going to be one with the Rabbonu Shel Olam. You're going to be a person who's elevated greater than you ever imagined. You're going to be a person who's refined, who has self-control, who's above all humanity. It's the dream of all dreams. It's when we talk about what we want to become, the dream of all dreams. The thing that most people are afraid to ever dream because you don't think you'll be able to hit such a high dream. And he tells you, I know who you are. I know exactly what you're capable of. I know why I put you there, and I know where you could get to. And you're going to be my Am Kadosh and my Am Segula to be for me and with me forever. You're going to be Elyon above all the nations. And all these brachos and klolos that you get all stuck, you get stuck, you get focused in and bogged down by all the brachos and klolos and scared and all the fear and anxiety and nervousness. Forget about all this. We're talking about something much bigger. I want you to be a champ. Stop talking about parades the whole day. Stop talking about what if I don't win and I'm not going to feel good. I want you to be a champ because I know you're a champ. He's trying to tell you who you are. These are the most incredible days. The most absolutely incredible days. It's the days when you discover yourself. There's a line. A Mishnah says a line. It says, Schar mitzvah mitzvah. And people mistakenly, I don't know where the mistake comes from, they think it means that a mitzvah leads to another mitzvah. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. One mitzvah will lead to another. I don't know who made that up. I don't know how one mitzvah leads to another. I put on tzitzis. I don't know why that's going to help me do kibbut avim. I put on tzitzis. Tzitzis is tzitzis. Kibbut avim is a different mitzvah. I don't know. One mitzvah doesn't say schar mitzvah is another mitzvah. You know what the schar mitzvah is? Schar mitzvah is you just identified as that mitzvah. You just became connected to eternity. You just became the Am Kadosh and the Am Segula. The greatest schar mitzvah that could ever exist on this physical planet is that you become a mitzvah. You become a champ. The process, the journey that we're on, is not a process, if you get detailed and small and petty, of trying to do this a little better, trying to be nicer, trying to be a little more improved in that area. That's a process. That's the process. For sure, that's the process. I'm not talking about the process, but when you're involved in any process, you got to know, what's my goal? What am I chasing? What am I running after? And if you lose sight of the goal, if you never knew the goal, the process becomes very petty and small. You're just talking about Hashem's going to be upset at me and Hashem's going to be proud of me, and you get 6 points and you lose 4 points, a little schar and a little onus. It's like a childish game. You turn the whole beautiful reality of this world into a childish game, and you never think about who you are. You never think about your identity. You never think about what he wants you to become, because he knows you have it in you. You never think about the fact that you're a champ. You know, I don't want to say it out loud. The craziest thing, a guy can sleep in one day. He can sleep in one morning. He can sleep in one shacharis. And he can say, it doesn't matter. It's the saddest reality that you'll ever come to, when you'll say that your absence doesn't matter. If your absence doesn't matter, then what are you worth? If your absence doesn't matter for 20 minutes, then what's your value? If you can say that your absence for 5 minutes is irrelevant, then who are you? But if you understand that you're a champ, and the team doesn't play without you, you don't miss minutes. You don't miss practice. You don't miss overtime. Because I'm a champ. But if you're not a champ, you don't know who you are. You never discovered yourself. Nobody ever told you what you're capable of. Then the whole thing doesn't matter. A point here, lose a point there. It's the childish game. It doesn't go anywhere. But if you identify the way Hashem identifies you, now we're in business. Now we're talking. I'm very much looking forward to an amazing Shabbos with the guys. Very much looking forward to being here, connecting more. It's the beginning of the year. Shabbos, we can connect in amazing ways, and Shabbos is for the boys. That's a very deep statement. It's not a petty statement. It's a very deep statement. Shabbos for the boys. Mirza Shalom Shabbos. We're going to continue this conversation. Have a great Shabbos.